Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to Cave On 1440 AM Radio. This is the St. Helena Farmers Market hosting the Farmers Fresh Hour, brought to you by our sponsor, American Ag Credit, Money for Agriculture. Thank you to KVON for allowing us to share the stories of some of our vendors, local luminaries, and stewards of the farming community. My name is Arwen Gallenkamp, and I'm the market educator for the St. Helena Farmers Market. I have three fabulous guests with me today that I'm so pleased to be sharing with some of what they do with us at the market, how they're involved in the community, and the many things that they do for us and for the community in general. First, I have Courtney DeLillo, who's the farm manager and occupation instructor at St. Helena Montessori School. She manages the large school farm, amazing farm, teaching her students about science, seasonal cycles, and the economics of selling produce at a public market. Erin Ramsey, who is the culinary arts instructor with St. Helena Montessori School. Her job is teaching the students not only about how to cook and prepare menus, but to operate a commercial kitchen and all of the aspects that go with that. And then Lars Kronmack, who's the professor of culinary arts at CIA, also a longtime board member at the St. Helena Farmers Market. He's been with the Culinary Institute as a professor for over 20 years, is a longtime member of the St. Helena Farmers Market Board of Directors also for about 20 years. So we are super pleased to have all three of these guests with us in the studio this morning. Our market is located at Crane Park in St. Helena. We're open every Friday, May through October, 7:30 a.m. to 12 p.m. Our market provides an exceptional seasonal produce from local farmers and growers, as well as a really wide array of prepared foods, beautiful artisan goods. We're privileged to hold a 501c3 nonprofit status, which allows us to also focus on a variety of community educational programs. We salute our fabulous growers who have been with us throughout the season and are constantly changing. It's fantastic. Without further ado, I would like to introduce Courtney DeLillo. She is, as I said, the farm manager and occupational teacher for the adolescent program at the St. Helena Montessori School. Her students are super lucky to have such an experienced and enthusiastic teacher teaching at one of the more beautiful school campuses that you've ever seen. It's really, truly incredible. Courtney's students get their hands in the dirt, experience direct science through the garden and animal husbandry, finishing this cycle by taking their produce directly to the people, to the market. They join us May through September about, and it's really an amazingly complete expression of what Dr. Maria Montessori had in mind for the adolescent student. Dr. Montessori recommended that adolescents spend time in the country and on the land, and that this would provide an opportunity to study civilization through its origins in agriculture. She suggested incorporating a farm on which the students could learn to manage the farming process and to open a shop where the sale of produce would incorporate the fundamental kind of mechanics of society and production and exchange upon which, you know, the basic economic life is based. So this the Montessori program is really truly an expression of that ideal entirely. So Courtney, I'd love for you to expand on the idea of the Montessori education embracing farming as a way of studying not only civilizations but economics and community, and how you implement this within your program.
Sure. So Maria Montessori, as you said, really was very interested in the idea that the adolescent was basically a baby adult, and as such, they should be practicing the real work of adults. And so that's what we try to accomplish with all of the work in our program, is that they feel, and not just feel, but actually are contributing to the strength of their community, to the work of their community. So we farm, we raise animals, we cook, we have a metal shop and a wood shop where they build chicken coops and fix tools and you know, do all these things.
Real life stuff.
Real life stuff that keeps our community functioning.
Yeah.
And then they have to see how they fit into the broader scope of society. And mm-hmm. so we are active in our community and we give back and we try to make money and all the things that adults are focused on every day. And we're trying to teach these adolescents how to be functioning members of society.
Well, I mean, just getting the knowledge of the complete cycle of how it works is really truly such a gift for these young people to learn. I mean, you know, we're kind of spoiled in this community in that that's a little bit more inherently and knowledge, you know, that the kids know about that a little bit more. But this is really, truly the hard lessons of that. So I had the opportunity last spring to visit the campus and the garden and see kind of what amazing fruit and vegetables you have and the lay of the land. It's truly an inspiring spot. So can you give the audience a little bit of a description of the school farm, kind of maybe what's new and changed and how your daily and weekly program, you know, works, you know, it just kind of a day in the life?
Sure, absolutely. So our campus, St. Helena Montessori School, we have education for students as young as 18 months. We have a toddler program that starts at 18 months and then goes through our adolescent program, which goes through like 14, 15-year-old student. So we have a whole range of young people on our campus. And they all have their special prepared environments. Montessori felt very strongly that each phase of development had a very specific prepared environment that worked best for them. And so they all have the primary, the elementary, the adolescent program. We all have our special prepared environment. For the adolescent program, that is kind of focused around the farm because mm-hmm. that is our prepared environment, the farm, the shop, the kitchen. And so we spend time, the students spend time every day doing this real work in conjunction with their academic studies. So we start off every morning with what we call community work. Mm-hmm. And so they're either with me on the farm or with Aaron in the kitchen, taking care of the animals, working in the shops. And then they go off to their math class and their humanities class and become well-rounded people by, you know, focusing on their academics as well. As much as they'd like to just hang out with the goats and the chickens all day, or some of them would rather
just go to math class.
Humanities all day. So there's something for everybody. But in the afternoons, two afternoons a week, we teach science in kind of an interesting way, what Maria Montessori called occupations. And again, she felt like the best way for a student this age to learn was to learn by doing.
Hands-on.
And that's kind of the whole basis of what we're doing. And so you learn science by doing an occupation. So they learn biology by studying with me in the garden. We germinate seeds. They mm-hmm. watch that happen. We grow things. We learn about, you know, nodes and internodes on a plant by harvesting the flowers at the appropriate place to get new growth to happen. Mm-hmm. So they're learning science by actually doing real world work. We have a beekeeper, so they actually do beekeeping and they learn about entomology and environmental science and all of these other things by actually doing beekeeping. And so that's our science program. It's based around, we have an anatomy class. They also take animal science classes. So, you know, they use our chickens. And
the animals and the goats are all mm-hmm. right there.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's real world application.
The real world. So that's
it really
kind of
is
our,
amazing.
Yeah. Snapshot of our program.
Yes. So we are so lucky to have the fantastic produce from your gardens at the farmer's market, as I said, sort of May through September about, right? Mm-hmm. So when your produce is ripe, your students start to harvest it and bring it to the farmer's market. And it's, again, such a big picture moment. I see these kids interacting with our market goers and, again, really learning the full cycle of growing something from watching it germinate.
That's right.
Watching it grow, mm-hmm. seeing the things that happen. And so can you give us a little bit more of a view about, and the adolescent students are what age again?
They are 12 to 14.
Got it. Okay. Mm-hmm. So can you give us a little bit more of an idea of how this works for your adolescent students? And do you work with them as far as interacting with the market goers, because they're so courteous mm-hmm. and so engaged with adults? Right. It's really impressive.
Well, we do. Again, we're trying to help these children become members of society, and part of that is interacting with adults. And so we do give them a lot of opportunities to do that. We have a lot of staff members, and so just in their daily life on mm-hmm. campus, they get the chance to interact with a variety of adults and practice. We're huge on grace and courtesy, and so practicing all of those skills so that they can function well in society. So they get to the market and they, they always ask if we can bring stools, and I say absolutely not, because they are going to stand up and they are going to greet our customers and
right.
And be able to talk about the product and how it was grown and talk about themselves. And I do see the community does like that, does like their ability to interact and
yeah.
to hold a conversation. And then the money part of it is so
I was going to say
too.
The money part.
Yeah, and so the fact that these kids know how to count back change, we don't use calculators,
right.
We don't have a chip, on my phone to take credit cards, like
right.
cash only, which I might be a detriment to us, but I think it's that bigger picture
yeah.
purpose of why we're there. It's they have to count back change. They do the math, on the fly. They've got their little piece of paper and they understand. And then they get to count it at
yeah.
the end of the day. They
right.
count out that cash box. And that's just, it's like you said, it's that big picture moment
yeah.
of them understanding that whole cycle.
Maybe they'll even be able to balance their checking account
Maybe,
someday.
Right.
So you work together with Erin, who is the culinary arts teacher, who we'll hear from in just a moment. So can you give us a bit of an insight about how you combine the two programs and how you coordinate the garden program
Absolutely.
Around this?
Yeah, yeah. It's been so great to have Erin. We've really changed. I've changed. Basically, what's really happened is we've been more conscious about what we grow because Erin has desires about about what she wants in the kitchen. And so, what kind of pepper varieties we grow and tomato varieties for canning the tomatoes, and she makes really awesome hot sauce and so all these things that we grow for her, because having that garden there for the kitchen is as important as having it there to show the kids the bigger community picture.
Well, their school community.
Exactly right. And so we put in an apple orchard about a year and a half ago, and we based the varieties in the apple orchard on, we do a huge pie bake every year, and so we put in varieties that Erin wanted to use to make pie filling, and I put in peaches, but I really looked for peach varieties that would come on once school was back in session,
right.
So really late peaches, so things that the kids can actually use
mm-hmm.
And get a chance to experience. So it's been really fun to kind of have a focus. We still do a ton of experimentation with different things. Kids are always wanting to try, things out of season or interesting crops. And,
right.
and they need the freedom to do that.
Yeah.
But we have kind of focused for the culinary
a little bit more
program.
On the culinary. That's fantastic. Yeah. And let me tell you, honestly, the best basil that I've had all season is from your garden. I put it in a jar on my kitchen counter, and it makes the whole kitchen smell fantastic and the best pesto going. So not only do you guys have a very busy farm, and obviously are teaching the kids amazing things, and you are also very involved in community events, both for the students and for the St. Helena community at large. Can you give us a glance at a little bit about what those are? And
sure. So besides the market, we also have a small CSA, which is a community-supported agriculture program. So we pack up produce bags for our community members who've joined our CSA every week. We do a fun day for our youngest students on campus in the fall. We do a harvest day for them, where the adolescent students put together a series of activities and the primary children come out onto the farm and pick pumpkins and plant seeds with us and have a snack from the garden. And that's always a really fun day that the
personal pumpkin patch.
Yeah, we do. We grow the pumpkin patch
that's
every
so
year.
Cute.
Yeah.
What they don't pick, we put into pies.
That's right. And then we put them into pies after. Yeah. So we love working with the little kids. We love working with the community. We love being at the market. We're hosting a big dinner in the garden this weekend, which I'll let Aaron
Ooh,
talk
yay.
About.
Saturday.
Oh,
yeah.
Super
They're
fun.
Working away at it right
can't
now.
Wait.
Actually,
okay.
Yeah. Break away
so,
for a minute.
Yeah.
Well, you guys are obviously very, very involved. It's really amazing. And I feel like we could talk to you all hour. But I do have to take a quick commercial break so that we can talk to our other guests. So it was been a pleasure to learn a little bit more about the program. And we're always thrilled to have you guys at the market. So thank you so much. Welcome back to the Farmer's Fresh Hour on KVON's 1440 AM and streaming live at KVON.com. This is the Farmer's Fresh Hour, sponsored by American Ag Credit, Money for Agriculture. We're here with the St. Helena Farmer's Market in the studio with our fantastic guests. My name is Arwen Gallenkamp. I'm the market educator for the St. Helena Farmer's Market. If you're just joining us, we have three guests with us in the studio this morning. We just got a chance to get a catch up with Courtney DeLello from the Farm Manager and Occupational Instructor at St. Helena Montessori School. Aaron Ramsey, the Culinary Arts Instructor with St. Helena Montessori School, will be telling us a little bit about her teaching students not only about how to cook, prep menus, and operate a commercial kitchen, and then we will get a chance to speak with Lars Kronmark from the Professor of Culinary Arts at the Culinary Arts Institute of America at Greystone, a longtime board member of the St. Helena Farmers Market. So we just spoke with Courtney about all things garden related at the St. Helena Montessori School. Next up, I'm super pleased to introduce Aaron Ramsey and take some of the amazing produce that we've just heard about and take it into the kitchen and turn it into delicious food. So she, as I said, is the culinary arts instructor for the adolescent program at the St. Helena Montessori School. Her students really get a firsthand experience with creating menus, working with the amazing produce from the garden, and I'm sure some exposure to some of the world-class culinary kitchens here in the Napa Valley. They have joined us in the past for our Cinema Bites program, creating some delightful snacks for the evening from their garden on campus. And it's just a really fantastic opportunity for them to enter the culinary world with a knowledge of the garden, the classroom, and the kitchen. Again, as with Courtney's program, we see the vision of Dr. Montessori coming to life. These students, some of whom are also active in the gardening program, are learning real life skills and I'm sure a lifelong love of creating healthy food with ingredients really straight from the garden that they can see growing. So it's super exciting. So Aaron, can you give us a little bit, and again, this is something that's super near and dear to all of us at the St. Helena Farmers Market to watch these students create stuff that is straight from the garden. So, Aaron, can you give us a little bit of a background about yourself, how you got into the culinary arts, kind of how, I don't know how long you've been with the St. Helena Montessori School, and kind of, you know, just give people a broader picture idea.
Sure. I love the story. I grew up in North Carolina, and my mom had one of the hardest jobs in the world and was a stay-at-home mom for my sister and brother and myself, and my dad traveled a lot for work. So where I guess my love for cooking and for food came was because whenever dad was home, I wanted to seize the opportunity and spend time with him, and what he always seemed to be doing was cooking. So we chatted over cubes of raw diced potatoes while he was frying them up for supper, or I told him about my day while smoke billowed from the grill and he fed me all the little pieces of cap from the ribeye.
Tidbits.
Yeah, exactly. So that's really how we bonded. And mm-hmm. I know I loved food, I know I loved cooking, but it became our way of spending time together, and it just became even more special. It took on a greater meaning than just food. It became, you know, a morsel was a means of affection. So anyway, with their encouragement, I went to UNC Chapel Hill to study theater, which is another passion of mine at the time. And in between sophomore and junior year, I went to a restaurant. And it was called Nana's, and it was a James Beard award-winning restaurant, which I didn't know what that meant at the time. But anyway, I started just back waiting just to earn some money and filling waters and putting bread at the tables. And I always asked them in the kitchen, what's going on? What are you doing? You know, asking questions.
Right.
And so the chef was a bit of a hothead, and so in the middle of service on a Saturday night, three of his line cooks, including actually and the dishwasher, quit.
And they were like, fantastic. What a great Saturday night.
Aaron, can you cook? And I was like, And so they were like, yeah, I'll put you on garbage. I was like, this is the best. Oh my gosh, I'm working in this kitchen. And then Louis Boda, the sous chef at the time, came around the corner. He's like, you want this to be your job? Like, in lieu of pouring water. And I was like, yeah.
He's like, I'll take it.
$8 an hour. I was like, yeah. So time came to go back to school. And I decided, you know, I think this feels right. So I want to pursue this a little bit longer.
Right. Yeah.
After a year and a half working there, they said, you know, you should go to
right.
culinary school.
Yeah. 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 So then, direct kitchen experience, mm-hmm. culinary school, mm-hmm. And then education. How did that happen?
So I did go to culinary school. Met my husband there.
Right.
He sat behind me in culinary
school.
Right. I know. I got an education and a husband. What do you know? And I read it on his jacket, Royce Kip Ramsey, and I fell in love. Cool name. Also Southern boy. So he's now the chef de cuisine at Farmstead.
Right.
Where actually Courtney worked before. Small world.
Yeah, small world. Yeah. Small valley.
Love it.
Yeah.
And so we got married, and we were looking for the next step, and it presented itself, as it fortunately seems to do. They said, why don't you talk to Stephen Barber? And he's a chef in the Napa Valley. He was also from Kip's hometown. Small
right,
world.
Right, right.
And they opened up Fish Story together. Anyway, his wife worked at Robert Sinsky Vineyards, which is organic, biodynamic, and they have their own gardens, lamb. And I happened to know, because we were living with them, that Sinsky was looking for a new chef. And so I was in the door the day after their previous chef, who was assisting Maria Sinsky, the executive chef. And I had my resume. I'm like, hey, you need someone to help? They're like, well, by gum, we do. And so there I was. I worked there for 6 years and was the farm-to-table manager, and cooked for Wine Club and all this. And had one son, and we got we worked with Nimbus, and we knew the Montessori.
Right.
And then Courtney moved over there, and so we were kind of in close relationship with the Montessori for quite some time. And then I had my first son, went back to work at Sinsky, and then I had my second son. I'm like, you know, I don't know. I need more of a balance. And fortunately, Alex Heil, on my maternity leave with Towns, our second son, was like, hey, you want to work at the school? And, you know, it's 30 hours a week. I was like, yeah, perfect. So thanks again, universe. Right. Like, that's the next step for me. So this is now my fourth year as the farm-to-table instructor. And I'm also the play director. So it all... How great is that?
Oh, you're
that
getting, all comes right. in. Yeah. Getting it wrapped all in. Oh, so you could do that. Okay, great.
Yeah, great. I love it.
So, again, does the farm to table program just work with the adolescent program at the Montessori school?
Well, on the day-to-day basis, during the community work session, which Courtney was talking about, I have students from, let's say, 8:20 until 9:10 and 9:10 until 10 o'clock, different groups.
Uh-huh.
And they're working towards making a snack for the adolescent program, which is 35 students and about 10 teachers. And so that is all driven by the garden.
Mm-hmm.
It's very seasonal. We have tons of tomatoes. We've got cucumbers. What are we going to do with them?
Right.
We've got the chickens are laying 24 eggs a day. So it starts there with what we have. And really, I let the students kind of throw things out. At the beginning of the year, I'm more so like, this is the food we're making. We want to make sure it's balanced. We want to make sure we're kind of hitting all aspects of what you need to grow and nutrition and this and that. But it's amazing what they know. They've lived in the valley.
I mean, right,
they've
I know.
Grown up here. They
the
have
perspective
access to
is
all
a little warped.
It's amazing. No, it is.
I mean, in a good way, but
it is. But they're incredible workers. They've ruined me for working in the kitchen with adults, honestly, because truly, they're so capable. They don't have any preconceived notions, and sometimes it's the very first time they've seen something, and they're so excited, and that makes me excited.
Yeah.
And then you're like, this is cool. You're right.
Yeah.
But besides that we have a coffee cart in the morning, and so they're always making some type of yummy victual for the coffee cart.
So baking.
Baking, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, absolutely. There's a toddler program, so this year we've recently started assisting with the toddlers' lunches every day. So they source their ingredients through us. And Courtney gives them a CSA bag every week. They get eggs, and if they're going to have, a snack or something, then if they're going to make pizza, well, we'll make the dough for them, and we'll cook the tomato sauce down and source the other ingredients as necessary, make ricotta cheese, and they come by and they kind of see, well, that garden that you walked through, that CSA basket, that's what we're doing with all of it.
So they've got multiple venues, multiple different styles of cooking that they're dealing with. Mm-hmm. So they really do have a really big picture, and they're feeding their co-students and teachers.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like it's just a full circle expression of this farm to table. So what else is involved within this farm to table program? And you did mention that nutrition is part of it. And,
oh, sure.
Yeah.
And they get, so nutrition, because during, in the mornings while I have them, it's really a production kitchen. You know, we got to get going. I don't have them for a long time, and they can be incredibly efficient. So, like I said, when the resulting snack is about, we focus on the balance. And then in the occupations that Courtney was talking about, they've got food science, you know, how it works,
right,
and digestion and all this, and anatomy. Otherwise, she's done, it was food science and... Anyway,
lots of different.
It all kind of comes.
Yeah,
nutrition.
Yeah.
So that all kind of comes into play.
Yeah.
But besides that, we do. We're doing the harvest dinner, which is this Saturday.
Ooh,
so that
super
is.
Fun.
Oh, it is great. It's showcasing everything from the garden. So
and that's a public event or.
It's offered
a school
to
event.
It's a school event,
yeah.
Right? And so that's actually part. It's the AP programs. Donation, I guess.
Uh-huh.
So during our Festa, which is our big
fundraiser,
the big fundraiser in the year, that's one that people buy a spot for. So they buy a seat, they reserve their spot, and then we set up the garden. It's beautiful, and then we base the menu around that, and the kids come and cook it, and they put on their jackets, and it's so enchanting.
Not only preparing snacks, but also catering.
The whole nine yards. There's that. Oktoberfest is coming up, which is another school event, and so the students, we're working towards creating that and making the mustard and all kinds of good stuff. Meadowood lunches. Yes, you mentioned we work in fine kitchens. Indeed.
Yes.
So we get to work with Chef Kostow four times a year. So kind of the top students that I have, they really do have to earn their way in this. So we design the menu once again around the garden. So we go and talk with Zach Yoder, who's the head gardener at Meadowood, and we just write a big list. And it says what we have and then what we need.
Right.
And so typically what we have fulfills everything.
Right.
And so I have the students that are going, I'm like, let's brainstorm. What can we do? First course, second course, third course. And how do we incorporate as much of this as we can? So in the dessert, I mean, appetizers, this time of year, appetizers, entrees, easy. It's really deciding the protein.
Right.
That's the trickiest part. And then the dessert, whatever fruits we have. Okay. If we don't have fruits, we've got honey because we have the apiary.
Right.
Or
eggs.
eggs, absolutely.
Right.
So we go from there, and what do we want to do? Bing, bing, bing.
Yeah.
And And then we propose it to Chef Kostow. He says, great, that sounds good. And if we're stuck somewhere, you know.
No pressure.
No pressure, yeah. No, they're amazing. They really are. And so we practice it. So every Friday, in addition to that, every Friday we have a sit-down lunch where white tablecloths, you know, flowers on the tables, they can get to practice grace and courtesy, and just dinner, just really dining. So just practicing manners and passing and just all these kind of practical lessons. And so every Friday we have a nice meal.
So they do front of house too, as well as?
Actually, yes.
Yeah.
And I have, when we do, when we do community dinners on a monthly basis, I have a front of the house and a back of the house manager. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, you're in charge of making sure that everything's set up correctly.
Right.
The ones in the kitchen, it's just so I can leave and ping pong around.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. I'm sure.
I get so excited.
All the kitchens around the valley have probably got their eyes on your students, waiting for them to be old enough to work in them.
Oh, they should. Yeah. Meadowood. Sorry.
Super great, right? So we're super excited to have the kids. They're going to be actually at the farmer's market next week, not this coming Friday, but next week, doing a chef demo for us. So we're super excited about that. We are waiting to hear what the latest and greatest is from the garden to find out what they're going to be making. But definitely love to have everybody stop by and see these kids in action. As I said, they're very impressive in their interaction with adults and obviously with the food and the whole thing. So it's really, really amazing. And we were super lucky to have interaction with the Montessori School at the St. Helena Farmers Market. So thank you so much. And
absolutely.
I hope we fit in everything. I feel like, again, we could talk all hour with you and not cover it all. So we really appreciate it. And we're looking forward to seeing you in next week. So thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you for having us.
Welcome back to Napa's KVON 1440 AM on your radio dial and streaming live at kvon.com. You're listening to the Farmer's Fresh Hour, sponsored by American Ag Credit and Money for Agriculture. You're here with the St. Helena Farmers Market. I'm your host, Arwen Gallenkamp. We have three fabulous guests with us in the studio today. We just heard from Courtney DeLillo and Aaron Ramsey, both from the St. Helena Montessori School, who have fabulous garden and culinary programs. So now we're gonna switch gears to the adult culinary programs with Lars Kronmark, who is the professor of culinary arts at the Culinary Institute of America at Greystone, also a board member of the St. Helena Farmers Market. He has been with us for about 20 years at the farmer's market on the board, and about the same amount of time as a culinary arts professor with the Culinary Arts Institute of America, fondly referred to as the CIA, at Greystone in St. Helena. Lars came to us from his native Denmark many years ago into California, yes, and has been involved with culinary arts since he was a very young man. He's been with the CIA Greystone, as I said, for about 20 years, directing various programs, winning many awards, and enriching the lives of culinary students and diners around the world. We're super privileged to have him as a member of our board and has been very involved with us as a valuable voice and a valuable voice of the CIA and chefs around the valley. So there's just so much to talk about. As I said with my last two guests, I feel like we could go on for hours. For our audience to learn about Lars, the Culinary Institute of America's programs, and the exciting things that you've done around the culinary world in general. So let's start with just a quick background of how you came to be in California and when your passion for cooking really started in your life.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to be here today. You know, I worked in Europe in my apprenticeship and spent a year in Geneva, Switzerland, where I worked with several Americans at this hotel, and it gave me such a positive opportunity, a positive feeling about coming to California one day for a visit. And I arranged a trip over here in late 79, early 80, and spent a year at a golf club. Working in a golf club, a very traditional golf club, and it turned out to be an extension. I kept extending my trip and my stay, and eventually
just a little longer.
I got sponsored by the club to be got a green card, and that was my start on my California
be
dream.
Their chef.
You know, every song and every rock song have California in it.
So eventually you worked your way down towards towards the valley, and you've been with the CIA Greystone from kind of before this nationwide awareness of this farm to table movement and interest in learning culinary arts and sort of the celebrity chef factor of things that is happening these days. So can you give us a little bit about the history of the Culinary Institute of America, was starting in New York and then its inception in St. Helena. It's housed in a very historic building, which sat empty for years and went from an empty shell into this vibrant university campus that it is today. So there's like a huge number of full-time students, right? About 250 full-time students and many non-professional instructional classes at Greystone and at Copia. So I just kind of give the audience kind of a bigger picture of the Culinary Institute of America.
Well, Greystone was opened in 95, and it was actually way ahead of its time. Mm-hmm. It's very similar to what Aaron and Courtney talked about. It was an organic garden. We were completely a continuing education, advanced culinary institute without long-term students. It was a seminar based continuing education.
Right.
And we had huge gardens, and for the first 5 years, we ran that school as an educational program for adults across the United States. And only after 2001, 2002, Greystone in St. Helena became a degree program school, which is today 100%. And that has involved, of course, in creating classes at that time for not only degree but also for short terms.
Right.
And that short term seminars and 1 day classes, 5 day classes, 3 day classes has eventually grown to a size where we could actually occupy another building.
I'm sure.
the listeners probably know that we have Copia here in Napa.
Right.
And as you mentioned, one of the difference between the two is the Copia is much more focused on things that, again, Aaron Courtney talked about, but for adults.
Mm-hmm. Right. So more the professional school is now up at Greystone,
yes.
And the short-term programs are at the Copia campus.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, super. So what else is going on there's so many amazing things at both mm-hmm. locations. Mm-hmm. So at the Greystone campus, there are a few short-term classes as well as the professional program.
You know, at Greystone, we have quite a fun experience. You can come in and we have, first of all, in a great cooking store. I mean, it has just about every book and every cooking pot you can use. We have an Ely Cafe, which is a cafe, a bakery, lunch place, open every day, 7 days a week. It's open to around 11 o'clock in the morning and runs to about 3. And it's student run. We have tours now, guided tours to the building. Don't forget that Greystone has a lot of history.
Yes.
Talk about history all the time. And Greystone has a huge place in the California wine industry.
Yeah.
We are right across the street from Krug, where we have our gardens, which is also open for the public. You can walk over there and have a look at that.
Yeah.
But Greystone experience is still there. Classes are there, but they are a little bit more selected, and you can only take the class at Greystone going through the Copia mm-hmm. enrollment.
Got it.
And then some of them we take up there because of its value and of its status in industry as an older establishment for that kind of stuff.
Well, I don't know if anybody has had the chance to go to the Copia campus uh-huh. and see the amazing Heston kitchen that's there, which is really truly tremendous. So tell us a little bit about those demo kitchens and the programs that happen at the Copia campus.
Okay, well, Copia took over in 2015, I think in October, and has gone through an extensive remodeling. And we have, luckily, a great relationship with a lot of the industry makers of great equipment. And the Hessian Kitchen.
It is beautiful.
One of the things, but in Sonoma, gave us the collection, the big cookware collection up there. But the Cookware campus has developed into a multi-functional bowl entertainment place.
Yeah.
And entertainment in the culinary world. You can, you can take classes for 1 day. You can take a boot camp of 5 days. Wine classes. We use that campus now for conferences. Mm-hmm. Wine releases. Winery owns it. Comes in and do events there. Napa Valley Vintners Association. The Napa Valley Vintners will go in and do release parties, and so it's a very interactive area. Versus Greystone is 100% degree,
right?
More degree program. It's like a university, 99% like a university,
right?
Anywhere in the United States.
And the two buildings couldn't be much more different.
Exactly. One is built in 2000 or something like that. One is built in 1888.
Right. Yes. So tell us a little bit more as far as, I mean, so obviously Copia's got a store, it's got visitor, you know, there's lots of things to do there as far as visitors go, but same with the Greystone campus, even though that is now more focused on the professional aspect of education. But you had mentioned Cafe Ely and what they're doing there. Can you go into a little bit more about how that works with the pastry arts program and you know, how that ties into the professional programs?
Well, if you enter the program at Greystone, the CIA long-term educational program, you are, you know, you can choose chocolates, you can choose working in pastry department,
right.
And at Greystone, those students have to have a hands-on experience. Just because we saw them in the service school,
right.
They actually get a little bit of that there, but we are giving them a chance to run the cafe. And for 6 to 8 weeks, they run the cafe for front and back in the switch, you know, halfway through.
Right.
And so
that does give them.
They make bread in the morning, they make salads, they make sandwiches, and they move into the chocolate lab. And all that is visible on a self-guided tour.
Right.
And then so Greystone has a lot of interaction with students, and the public can see that. They can't really get into the classes. That's why Copia came into the picture. But so Greystone has a very lively environment. We even have a restaurant called the Gatehouse, which is a restaurant that's run by our senior students. Right before they leave our program, they get to run our restaurant, which is voted really one of the newest upcoming restaurants in the valley. And it's like a... You know, it's incredible, affordable. Mm-hmm. It's in the $40 to $50 range for a full 4 or 5 course dinner.
Wow.
Interactive with students, and you should look it up. Gatehouse.
So the Gatehouse is open for lunch and for dinner?
It's open currently only for lunch.
For lunch. Okay. Fantastic. Everybody should definitely check that out, as well as Cafe Ely, and just a chance to see one of the more historical buildings in the valley. Take yourself on a self-guided tour and see what's going on there. There's so much, so definitely encourage everybody to take a chance to look at the CIA's websites, because there's many offerings for locals and visitors alike. So I know that there are also lots of events that CIA does, one of which is BASH.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about that and when BASH is, and then with all these competitive cooking shows on TV, I don't know about anybody else, but we watch a lot of them at my house. That I know everybody's really keyed up about the culinary competitions and kind of excited about that. And so tell us a little bit about BASH.
Okay, BASH is an event that we started 10 years ago in association with the St. Helena wineries called ASH. And there's actually 58 wineries in St. Helena. It's hard to believe. And that organization came across up to us about 8, 9, 10 years ago and said, hey, can we do a cook-off with some students cooking for a winery? And then they get one wine to pair with one dish.
Cool.
And that has now developed to be one of the most thought after events.
Super fun.
Of the year. It's in the first Saturday of April, and I don't have the calendar in front of me, but
okay, perfect. Okay, so everybody stay tuned for the spring.
First Saturday of 2020, okay, in April. And we have 30 teams of students pairing up with 30 winery teams.
Oh my gosh!
Wow. And they will then spend on the budget a couple of weeks on their spare time, free time, creating one dish to pair with this wine. And we actually had the first meeting yesterday. And it's looking really good.
Oh, I love it.
Team, and this is something you really want to
do. I got to come to next year for sure.
You should get sold out a couple of weeks before, so please check it out.
Definitely. Bash. Everybody should go to Bash. Again, go to the website and find out about that. So, so the Culinary Institute of America has been an entirely generous supporter of the St. Helena Farmers Market for years. Longtime sponsor of the market. You and your students cook at various events at the market every year. Your seasonal farm-to-table program brings us amazing, delightful bounty of offerings from the market, from your gardens, and creates a beautiful booth with us each year. So it is really just so amazing to have your involvement from the Culinary Institute, as well as your involvement as one of our board members. So we're super thankful for that. We're running a little short on time, so I wish we had time for more questions. But as I think that with the other guests, I just scratched the surface. But be sure to come to the market this Friday to taste some of Lars' not-to-be-missed sourdough pancakes. He'll be there with his students at our annual community pancake breakfast. Another example of the Culinary's Institute of America's involvement with our farmers market. So thank you, Lars, so much for joining us. Yeah, tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock. Don't miss it. So thank you so much, everybody, for joining us on KVON's 1440 AM Farmers Fresh Hour. Just to keep you all up to date with what's going on at the farmers market, we have we're located, just in case anybody doesn't know, in Crane Park, Fridays 7:30 a.m. to 12 p.m. May through October. Tomorrow we have a very busy day. As I said, our annual pancake breakfast will start at 9 a.m. Chef Lars will be there with his chef coat on, making up his famous sourdough pancakes, and part of my favorite is the sage leaves that go with that, which are really delicious. Perfect Edge will be at the market sharpening all things bladed. So bring your kitchen utensils, your kitchen knives, and garden tools for a fresh, sharp edge on that. The TK class from St. Helena Primary will be at the market tomorrow using their five senses to hunt for treasures at the market. And don't miss the Nimbus Arts Hour at the St. Helena Farmers Market tomorrow from 10 to 11 with the Dried Vegetable Mosaic Project to tie in with their special mosaic project that they do with the community in general, and to tie in with our Eat a Rainbow theme this month in the kids section. So lots more again this season coming up. Our next Cinema Bites will be at Cameo Theater on October 14th, showing the amazing movie Nothing Fancy and featuring a conversation with the director Diane Kennedy after the show. Don't miss that. We will have Ray Ray's Tacos doing the bites for that. So again, if you've been to the market and you've had their tacos, don't miss it. September 27th, the students from St. Helena Montessori School will be giving a chef demo to create some really sumptuous samples from their garden. So again, I would not miss that. to stay up to date with everything that we have going on, which is obviously a lot, we encourage you to subscribe to our newsletter. You can find that at sthelenafarmersmarket.org. You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back with you in 2 weeks. Wendy Strawn will be the host for another Farmers Fresh Hour, brought to you by American Ag Credit, Money for Agriculture. Thank you so much for joining us.